Good morning, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Outdoor Connection. You would not believe the off-air conversation in the studio this morning. I have Julie Geiser with the Nebraska Game and Parks Commission, and you know we ought to have a show on hunting iguanas in South Florida,
right?
But yeah, they're an invasive species; they're taking over, and yeah. It would be fun.
It would be a blast.
That's a certified air gun hunt, man.
Yes,
that's got to
yes.
be. So anyway. Back to Nebraska.
Where we have no iguanas except for pets.
Except for pets. Until a tornado comes through and a pet store gets wiped out, and then we have iguanas everywhere. I don't know if they'd survive our winters.
I don't think they'd survive the winter here. Of course, they've been pretty mild, but I still I think it'd get too cold for them.
That's how the Burmese python got all into the Everglades, is they got loose from... I think it was Hurricane Hugo that tore everything up, and they got loose, and now they're the apex predator. And I've got pictures people have sent me of Burmese pythons killing alligators.
Yeah, how crazy is that?
That's, no, we don't need those.
No, we don't.
No,
no, we don't.
Snake doesn't taste bad, but we don't need Burmese python.
No, absolutely not.
So you got a big event coming up tomorrow night here.
We do.
In North Platte.
It's one of our community fishing nights. It's a free event. I'll pull out the Game and Parks fishing trailer to Iron Horse Lake.
All right.
We've got those brand new fishing piers that are just begging for people to use.
Didn't they do a marvelous job?
Oh, they're
on all
awesome.
That? I mean, Jared Lawrenson with your fisheries biology group was kind of the brain behind that.
Yep.
And he had told me once that, you know, he took his kids there to fish and kept looking at it going, we can do better.
Right.
And there's five of those big fishing piers, and I think they're about 25 by 25 plus the causeway that gets out to them.
Right.
And they're great.
They're awesome. Now, when, you know, water table's a little low right now.
You can tell that at the boat dock.
Yeah. But, you know, when that water comes up, that water will be right around those fishing piers, and
it'll be good.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, the fish are already there.
Yeah.
I mean, you look down.
Look down, and they're,
I was out, and I did an article on some young men fishing out there. They were brothers, and they said they had fished there over their lives. The oldest was a senior in high school, and then down from there, and they'd been fishing Iron Horse all their lives, but they said, we're coming back more now.
Yeah.
And
the renovation out there was a great partnership between Game and Parks and the city of North Platte.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
Man, it is just really nice out there now.
Lyle Mitchell sung the praises of the Game and Parks getting all that put together. and the one of the best things about it is there was very little cost to the city.
Right.
All that came out of the Aquatic Habitat Fund stuff that everybody that buys a fishing license gets a percentage of that pitched off.
That's
the way it should be done.
Yep.
And to me, that is a, quote, user's tax.
Yes.
And that's how it should be.
Yep.
If you're going to use the facility, use the resource, then you ought to kick in a little bit.
Yep. And that's the nice thing about it is, and you ask most anglers, and they're not going to squabble about that, you know, the excise tax, and really they don't even know they're paying it because the percentage already comes out of whatever you're purchasing.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, it's
done at the manufacturer
provided by anglers.
Level.
Yeah.
Yeah, they pay that off to this before it even gets to the retail side.
Right.
And it's a great model.
It is.
I wish Nebraska had more of those.
I know. Yeah.
So back to tomorrow night's community fishing event. What is the times?
We're going to start at 6, wrap up around 8. Of course, it's going to be hot, so hopefully it'll cool off a little bit by 6. But it'll be a fun night. We'll have all the rods and reels. We'll have the bait. So it's a free event. People 16 and older do have to have a fishing license.
I was going to mention that. Yep. I'm going to remind you. Other than that, it's free. Like I said, it's a city park, so you don't even have to have a park sticker to get in.
Right. You just drive on in, find the colorful little fishing trailer, and
yeah,
we'll
like
be standing there waiting.
You've got the rods, the reels, the hooks, sinkers, bait, everything you need. All you have to do is show up.
Yep.
Now, if you want to bring your own gear.
Absolutely. Bring it and come fish. We'll still provide the bait for you.
I don't know if there's anything more fun than watching a kid catch its first fish.
Right.
It's just...
the excitement.
The excitement that goes with that.
Yep.
And there are lots of hungry bluegill around
those rocks. Oh, yes. There's a ton of them out there.
I don't think anybody will be short for catching fish.
Yep. And last time I was there, there was frogs. Kids were catching frogs and turtles. There's never a undersupply of turtles out there either, so...
I had a friend of mine send me a picture, and it was just a creek running, you know, through somebody's backyard. And it said, for our generation, the original PlayStation.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, I grew up off the end of A Street, and the irrigation ditch was there, you know, when we were kids. And
right.
Yeah, that's where we grew up.
See, now,
crayfish, frogs, toads, you know, covered in mud and muck.
Very
and,
similar where I grew up. It was, quote, suburbs of Houston, which, you know, is quite a bit more grown up than around here. But a couple blocks away, we had what was known as Little White Oak Bayou. And it flowed into Big White Oak Bayou, which flowed into Buffalo Bayou, which is a river down there.
Wow, yeah.
And ultimately, that flows through Houston and becomes the Houston Ship Channel out to Galveston. So as soon as we were old enough to have canoes, guess where we were?
Yeah, no kidding.
And you, like, you know, all the creatures you mentioned were there.
Yep.
Plus, we had alligators to deal
with.
Oh,
wow. No, thank you. But kind of cool.
When I was a kid up till about age 13, we could hunt alligators, and then they put a moratorium for a while. But like kids around here would trap for mink and muskrat and whatever,
right. We'd
go get alligators.
Right.
And there were places like here that buy the furs and leather. You could drag an alligator up there and toss it on their doorstep and make good money for kids.
Right. Geez, and all we did was collect aluminum cans and pop bottles.
We would we would go out and get a gator, and usually it'd fillet the tail out to get the meat there. Love alligator.
That, yeah.
I'll get an alligator tail up here one time. We'll get together.
That's good eats.
And it is. If you don't know what it is, I defy you to think it's not lobster when I get done with it.
Oh, man. Yeah.
But, you know, for kids, you know, this age, 10, 12, 13 years old, make $25, $50 a night.
Yeah.
Back in the early 70s.
That's big money.
That's big money. Yeah.
Big money.
But, so, is there any... do you know where you'll be set up out at the park? Or are you just probably at first dock as they come in? Or?
You know, it kind of depends on space. Typically,
see who else is there,
yeah, I'll have to, you know, because it is a public area, I'll just kind of have to see who all's there and kind of check out the situation. It'll either be by the first one or the last one. Mm-hmm. Because in between there's not a whole lot of room. So
there's... The first one especially, that's one of the things in the design that when Lyle Mitchell and the Parks Department was involved in it, they got some extra parking spaces in there.
Right.
And rocked it. That'd be good. But I'm sure you'll find a spot.
Yeah. I'll find someplace.
Just no jumping off the dock this time.
No. Might be a little too shallow to jump off the dock.
I did notice, looking over the edge of, I think I was on the first pier there, the bluegill were right there, and I saw the remnants of where, you know, they had hollowed out their, dished out the bottom for
their
nests.
For their nests.
So there, and then at one point I leaned over as far as I could to look back under that dock, and there's just all kinds of fish in the shade back
they
there.
Love that shade under those piers.
Yep.
So, it's not a real deep lake, so when it gets hot like this, they're looking for some place to go where it's cool, just like us, you know.
Right.
We're looking for that cool area.
Jared told me, he said, when they were doing some studies on that lake, he said it's very different from other interstate lakes. Other interstates, you know, every place you got an overpass, you'll find one of these lakes.
Right.
Because they wanted the sand and gravel, and they basically created a borrow pit, and by the nature of the geology of the valley, if you dig a post hole, it fills with water.
Right.
But the lake here has very little sand gravel bottom. It's a hard-packed silt.
Right.
So if you could look at the lake without any water, you'd see these scar marks through the bottom where right. they were searching. And it left a very irregular bottom, which from a structure standpoint, that's kind of cool.
It's good, yeah.
Wish it could be a little deeper overall, though.
Right, right. I think Jared said maybe 12 foot-ish.
Was the max. And that's
yep.
probably where they found a little vein of sand and gravel.
Yep.
The other thing that I know Jared wants to do is milfoil is an issue out there.
Yes.
Because it, especially later in the summer, it grows and it gets a lot of vegetation on the surface.
Yep.
And they put in
barriers,
yep. the mats around those fishing piers, so that doesn't happen.
Right, good which thinking. Is great.
Good thinking.
Yeah,
again.
Right.
But he said that there's only one chemical out there that really works on controlling milfoil. And
it's very expensive.
Yes, a 55-gallon drum of that is like $50,000.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So we need a GoFundMe page.
We do.
For that or something, but that would be great. But I don't know if you could ever get totally rid of milfoil.
Yeah, it would probably be one of those invasives that would be, you know, treated every year. So,
constantly.
Yeah.
What else you got coming up?
Well,
what do we have coming up? Game and Parks.
Game and Parks. We always have something
hunting
coming
seasons
up.
Seasons are here.
I know.
This, you and I both, this is a time of year where it just doesn't get much better.
Right.
Do I grab a shotgun rifle or fishing pole when I leave
right.
the house?
Yep. All of the above.
All of the above. So what? Squirrel seasons or rabbit seasons already open.
Yeah.
No, squirrel.
Squirrel.
Squirrel's open.
Yep.
Rabbit.
And then we'll have dove opening up September 1st, jackrabbit September 1st, snipe, rail. Like you said, squirrel's already open. Cottontail opens up the 1st.
You ever
so.
Hunted snipe?
You know, I
mean, real
no.
real hunting snipe, not.
I only hunt those with my camera. They're just such a unique bird. I have hunted rail. I shot photos of one of our wildlife guys hunting rail and actually did a story on it for Nebraska Land Magazine. Very interesting way to hunt.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
Well, snipe, too, the same way. I have hunted them, but that's generally not something on my radar. I mean, it's not like dove or pheasant, you know, something I purposely set out to do.
Right, right. And I think that's the way it is with a lot of hunters. They don't, you know, go out and make it a point to do that very often. But
there's not enough there to really eat.
Right.
So why bother?
Yeah. And they're such a pretty bird. Like I said, I'd just as soon capture them on my camera.
There you go. Now, dove season will open September 1st.
Right.
I got to look. What is September 1st this year?
Oh, goodness.
What date? What day of
the week? I did not look.
Well, let me. It is a Thursday.
A Thursday. Well, guess I'll be hitting the field on Saturday then.
Nope. I am out there. If I got to take vacation, I will be out there.
Yeah.
For that. And then that is one of our, for the group of guys that I hunt with regularly, that's kind of like our kickoff session.
Right.
We have the get together at a couple different places that generally provide some very good hunting and
right.
and do it. It's, and we've gotten to the point where, if you know, whether we're hunting or not, it really doesn't matter. It's a camaraderie type thing.
Right.
But there are so many doves that come into these places that one year we decided 4 10s only.
Oh, yeah.
You know, make it challenging a little bit
yep.
more. And then this year, because everybody has gotten the bug and bought another shotgun, it's 28 gauges only.
I was going to say, that's what I like to shoot is either my 16 or 28. Finding ammo is a little tricky for for those, but...
Off air, I will tell you where to find 28 gauge.
Sweet.
So that you can go get it for everybody else charges in.
Right.
I just picked up 3 more boxes yesterday, matter of fact.
I was just looking at my stash the other day thinking,
I will take 5 boxes with me into the field.
Oh, absolutely.
Now,
I usually need a few more than 5.
I have, over the years, I have gotten my 15 doves, which is max.
Right.
I've done that within one box of 12 gauge, within one box of 20 gauge, almost with a 410. I just had to crack open the next box, so now I got the 28 gauge to try it.
Right.
Haven't hunted with a 16 for it. I got a 16, but I got to order special ammo for it.
Mm.
The gun is close to 150 years old.
Wow.
A German gun, and it's 2.5-inch chambers.
2.5.
So I have to order special ammo for
that.
So
that's pretty neat, though.
Have to show you that one someday.
Yeah.
Gorgeous, gorgeous gun. All right, after we've talked about squirrel is open, and Jeff Rollinson are still trying to get our schedules together so we can go do our True Grit squirrel hunt. You know, pistols only.
Right.
And then you said, you know, the rabbits, rail, snipe. It's not too long before we have to get in, you know, thinking about archery deer and antelope season, stuff like that.
Pheasant and all the big names, you know.
All the big names.
But one thing we do need to mention on dove, since it is a migratory species, people do need to remember, and I know you've written and so have I in our columns about that, get your hip number.
Get your hip. I did that, I think, the 2nd of August. It's open the 1st, and I got mine the 2nd.
Yep. So everybody log on, do it over your phone, whatever, just get your hip number. That way you've got it and you're good to go if you hunt, you know, any other migratory species.
And if you plan to travel anywhere else to hunt a migratory bird, you have to get a hip number for that state.
For that state, yes.
I don't know why it can't be 1, but
I'm not sure either.
That's the way the feds set it up.
So yep.
Just, it's free, doesn't cost anything, takes about 5 minutes. Do it so you don't end up with a citation and a fine for not having it.
Yep.
No excuse for that.
And you know what's cool to me is the Eurasian collared dove season. Now, you can hunt those during the regular dove season, but those have to be included in your bag limit, which is 15 a day and 45 in possession. But then there's also their own hunting season.
Right.
Which is kind of cool.
Which I do.
Yeah.
I know a couple places where it's outside of town, legal to shoot, and the Eurasians come in there.
Yep.
And they're a little bit bigger bird. They're like pigeons.
Yep.
But that's where I go to test new loads for shotguns to see how they work.
Right.
And they eat just as well.
Absolutely. And like you say, they've got a little bit more meat on them, so it's a little more for the table.
They're an interesting bird. And nobody really knows why, but they were generally just in southern Asia, you know, Turkey, Iran, Iraq, and then all of a sudden they started expanding northward.
Mm-hmm.
And it was some bird collector here in the United States that wanted a couple, and they got, what was it, Florida they were imported to?
I think so.
And then the case got broke open and they got loose, and now we got them everywhere.
And now we have them everywhere. Boy, they are everywhere.
But they're a very urbanized bird.
They are. They like the urban areas.
And they don't migrate.
No.
They're here year-round.
All winter.
So, hardy bird.
Yeah.
What else you got?
Well, anybody that wants to hunt, don't forget you need your hunter education if you're ages 12 through 29. That's a big thing. You know, and generally, it's closer to deer season, but game and parks will just get inundated with phone calls. When's the next hunter ed class? You know, when's the class? And it's like, we've given them all summer.
Right.
But people kind of, that's one of the things that they don't put on their radar. It's kind of the stuff. Yeah.
Are there any booked right now before the season really gets started that they can contact the office and they have one set up?
You know, I am going to set up a few hunt safe sessions and perhaps do a full 10-hour class, but I don't have those in the books yet. So the best thing to do is get on the Game of Parks website and go to education, then hunter education, and you can search for classes in your area. Since it's still kind of summertime, people still aren't thinking about hunter education, so I'm not going to do these classes until later on.
Right.
Do they still have
an online version?
Yes. That's the thing. Most people do that online. If you're 16 and older, you can do the entire class online. If you're 15, you know, 11 through 15, that has to be done online along with a two-hour hunt safe session with a hunter ed instructor.
Okay.
And there is a fee for that because, you know, we got to have a vendor, so I think it's just under $30 to do that. But then the hunt safe session is free. So, okay. Yep, so keep that in mind. And there is the apprentice hunter education certificate that a lot of people do forget about. So if you're 12 and older, you haven't taken that hunter safety, hunter education class, you can pay a $5 fee on our permit section on the Game of Parks website, and you'll be exempt for that year from taking hunter education.
But isn't there a caveat in there that you also have to be hunting with a...
With a... Yes, with a permitted
licensed hunter.
Yep.
Which is good. That's like a forced mentor hunt, but that's good.
Right.
the first hunt, and everybody seems to go through the same phase, regardless of what age you start. But your first instinct is shoot the weapon.
Right.
And that may be potentially the most dangerous phase because
Right. You
may not be really concentrating on what you're shooting at.
Right.
So that's where the mentor comes into play.
Yes. Learning about the firearm, how to use it properly, you know, things that can happen, you know, and just that extra knowledge is really a key factor in being safe in the field.
Right.
And that's what hunter ed teaches you, so...
That's what it's supposed to be.
Absolutely.
We got about 4 minutes left, so.
4 minutes?
4 minutes.
Back to the fishing, for people that want to try fishing, maybe haven't tried it for a while, you can get the one-day fishing permit for $10.
Mm-hmm.
Which is
tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Yeah, learn.
Yep. Come tomorrow night if you're 16 and older and you don't want to buy the annual permit, which is $38, buy that one day for $10. Let us give you some instruction. We'll be there to help you learn how to tie knots, how to cast, how to rig your bait, you know, different lure types and that sort of thing. So people that are wanting to learn, even parents with kids, you know, sometimes we get this, man, my kid wants to fish, but I don't know a thing about fishing.
Right.
That's where we can help tomorrow night. We can help you through all of the steps from buying the rod and reel to lures and baits and how to tie your knots and where to go. So, you know, if you need that extra help, come on out tomorrow. We'll help you out.
One of the questions I get asked the most when I come out and help with these type of things is how to tie the knot.
Right.
And I've got a couple real simple ones I show people, and they're going, oh, okay, that's not that bad.
Yeah, super easy.
The other thing I run into, and it's the scenario is usually a single mom, and she's got some kids that want to fish, and she's trying, she's doing her best, but she's got a hook on there for sand shark, and they're going after bluegill.
Right.
And you can just see the bobbers, you know, they're after the bait, they're pulling it around, but they can't get their mouth on the hook.
Right.
So
they're stealing a lot of bait.
Yeah, so I always carry some fours and sixes with me. And
absolutely.
I'll stop help them re-rig and get the kid a fish. And
yep.
They're loving it then.
Yep.
Yeah, that's just, I know Nebraska has a lot to offer, but I don't think shark is one of them.
No.
Although give the fisheries guys a shot. I know there is a freshwater species of shark in South America.
Right.
They would import it and then trade them something for it.
Oh, good heavens. I don't think that's a good idea.
Don't give them that idea.
I don't think that'll fly.
Well, I hear the music in the background, which means that Tristan says it's time for us to shut up. So, any last word, Julie?
Nope. Come out to Iron Horse. Free community fishing night tomorrow night from 6 to 8.
Very good. I'll be there.
Awesome.
That's it for this week, folks. We'll see you next time on another edition of the Outdoor Connection.